Good morning. I'm your host, Claudia Shambaugh, welcoming you to the October 7, 2014 edition, with election coverage all the way through November 4th. We're filling this show to the gills with not just Orange County Registrar of Voters Neil Kelly, but also all three City of Irvine mayoral candidates, Stephen Choi, Catherine Daigle, and Marianne Guido. I'm not counting on the local press or those pesky mailers to bring you the authentic profiles out. It's my pleasure and obligation to present those profiles myself here on Community Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back in a second. Thank you for staying with me, folks. Welcome back to the show. My first guest is Orange County Registrar of Voters Neil Kelly, back with us to discuss the general election, especially as it pertains to the immediate community that we're serving here. And rest of Irvine, please do listen in, since it's imperative that this community radio station do its part to raise the whole voting participation on and around campus. Listen up, eaters. This means you. Neil Kelly is, as we speak, commandeering the Yorba Linda special election recall out in the field. Thanks, Neil Kelly, for setting aside valuable time with us on Ask a Leader today.
Claudia, always good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you've made it a regular deal with elections, and I hope that we just keep this good thing going, because it's really helping. And you and I agree, the maximal turnout is that's the prize we keep our eyes on. Well, a few deadlines that we want to talk about. There's not much time. There's about 2.5 weeks left. Let's talk about the registration deadline, a little application, just a little bit of that before we go into some of the campus sort of administration of the voting turnout.
Absolutely. So the first date I wanted to mention was yesterday, which was October the 6th, and that's an important day because that's the day voting officially opens. So for 29 days leading up to the election, people can request a vote by mail ballot and cast that ballot at their leisure all the way up to election day. So that started yesterday. And then the close of registration, that takes place on October the 20th. Now that's 15 days before election day. In California, just in 2012, we started online voter registration throughout the state. So the good news about that is you could, from the comfort of your home or office, all the way up till just before midnight on the 20th, register to vote online, and so you wouldn't be left out of that important election in November.
Let's talk about how the election machinery is going to be administered. How seamless is the transfer of administration going to be from the registrar voters there in Santa Ana to the Irvine campus and all five polling places that includes?
You know, we've had some long-term poll workers that work in those sites, which is good because that experience really helps, especially to help direct individuals to the right polling place. And I feel that transfer will be very seamless. We do have two minor polling place changes for this election because of the way that at the items that are on the ballot, and we can go through those polling places if you'd like.
Please, let's do that.
Yeah, sure. So we do have one at University Hills Community Center.
Right.
The next one will be at Verano Place Commons,
which I understand, just as an FYI to you and the listeners, allow folks lots of time. You got to map that one out first because there's some very idiosyncratic street labeling and there's a lot of different Verano this and that. So that's that we were talking about that in preparation for this interview, myself with the precinct maven. So the Verano Place Commons, be sure, folks, if that's what's on your sample ballot, that you map that out before November 4th.
And that insight's very helpful, Claudia. And one of the things we're going to be doing is providing a map to the university that they have said they'll post on their website. So people will be able to look exactly where and see where those polling places are on that map.
Okay.
Polling
place number three.
Yep, and the third one is Middle Earth Housing, Pippin Dining Commons.
Okay, that's easy to find.
Yep, fourth one is Mesa Court Community Center, and that's replacing Mesa Court Recreation Center that we used in June.
Okay.
So the last one is Camino del Sol, and that's replacing Vista del Campo, which we used also in June.
And the parking is going to be Camino del Sol. I guess they all live right around there. And so I just want to make sure that there's several dormitory areas that are going to pull. You need to look on your sample ballot, folks, which precinct you're going to on campus to go to the correct one. So we've got, Neil, a problem in Houston in terms of how sophisticated young voters are, or we'll say new voters, They're not clear on where they registered to vote. They may be in northern Irvine and Northwood neighborhood, but they're voting. They're looking for their polling place on campus. So where is the sustained effort to educate voters, to have them check in on where their paperwork went, if they're getting the sample ballot or an absentee ballot to a permanent address location?
One of the things that we've done, Claudia, this election is to partner with Los Angeles County to create a single lookup tool that is very easy to use on your iPhone smart devices, and it's at SoCalVotes.com. If students go to that site, in just a few seconds, they can look up using their address and find out exactly where they're precincted or where their polling place is. So that's a really useful tool. And I think just to back up and tell you, the other piece of that is that, you know, there's a lot of students that come, of course, from out of state, and the question comes up, where should I register? Do I stay registered back at home? Do I register here? And my answer to that always is, you know, what kind of say do you want to have in your community? If you're going to be living here for a bit and you feel that you want to be voting on issues here in California, change your registration, because you are now a resident of California, even if it's a temporary residency.
Right.
And so I always encourage students to decide what you want to be voting on. That's important.
Right.
Exactly. And also to make sure that if you do register here in California, that you list on that registration where you were previously registered, so you're not registered in two places.
And then, there. Speaking of registration, another hiccup, and you no doubt are a bit aware of that, but it's apparently confounded this, how the paperwork is processed and delivered, is on the registration form for the state, there is, on item 15, to receive a vote by mail ballot in all elections, initial here. The concern is where there is a partisan campaign to register voters, if they detect a certain not their partisan party, that affiliation of the person they're registering, they may, in a sense, subvert that voting process by the registering person would be checking, put the initials unwittingly of the registrant, and it would then lock in that person's permanent address where all the literature would go, and there would be no there, because there's no forwarding, that paperwork doesn't go anywhere else. So I'm just concerned about what line item 15 can do to undermine someone's complete control over how they've registered to vote.
Now, that's a really important point, and I just want to address it by saying this, that it's incumbent upon the voters, once they register, within just a few weeks, even sometimes shorter than that, they're going to see a postcard from our office. It's a tan postcard, you can't miss it, that lists all of those items on that registration form that they should have filled out. So they can look at that and verify, is this the correct information that I filled out on that form? And while it's not widespread, rest assured, there have been instances where people that have been registering out in the field have done exactly what you described.
Right.
And so that's why it's really, really important that you check that postcard and verify your information.
All right. So that, folks, is like one of the big takeaways, because we're really interested in making sure that the biggest yield is possible.
Yes.
Okay. And so the available forms, there's an issue about those. They are supposed to be restocked at all the libraries, fire stations, banks,
post offices
everywhere. And a question was, well, whose responsibility is to make sure that they're well stocked? So that I want to just give that tip to the person who mentioned that, an electoral maven in the community.
That's a great question. So there's two answers to that. One is, if they're a national voter registration agency, and there are agencies that are designated as such, one would be DMV, the other would be social service agencies. They're responsible to replenish that, and we have a very easy ordering system for them. They can go online, they order the materials, and we ship it out the same day. If it's a post office, as an example, which is not a required agency to carry those forms, we still leave it in their hands to order those. So we don't go around replacing them, but we have a very simple ordering system for them to replace.
Okay. That's just to make sure everybody's able to get their hands on it when they finally decide. Then,
can I add one last thing, Claudia?
Add on.
So post offices, by the way, there's some, and I've been getting some phone calls from the community, where they've gone into their local post office and they don't see the forms, I would encourage you to ask the clerk. There's not a federal law that mandates that they put those out, but we've always had a good standing relationship with the post office, and it's a great place for people to go to get the forms.
Okay.
So we want you to encourage people to ask the clerk.
Well, you've answered part of my last question here, that for the verification at SoCalVotes.com, the concern is, with no early voting opportunities in California this round, at least not in Orange County. But we know, we're hearing in the press all about the kind of the opportunities to vote early. It's a good way to confirm all of your voter detail data. So if not having that this time, it's so incumbent on everybody. Verify online. And I just want to make sure everybody knows this may not have the kind of the sex appeal of some of the main electoral cycles on with the presidential campaigns. But folks, your skin is in this game. Every time there's an election, there's going to be lots of decisions made as a result of locally and statewide elected officials' outcomes here. And so that's why we have Neil Kelly give valuable time to being on the show. Thanks so much for being on. And we're going to, if there's anything, we're going to try to make a PSA out of this interview, parts of this, so that we can keep playing this on and on for the rest of the election cycle. Neil, thank you so much for being on the show today.
I always appreciate your passion, and thanks for what you do.
Okay, thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, we are going to go back, get on Marianne Guido in just a second, and after a very short station break. Welcome back, everybody, to this portion of Ask a Leader. My first guest today of the three mayoral candidates for the City of Irvine is Marianne Guido. Marianne currently serves on the Irvine's Planning Commission, where she has been since Beth Crom appointed her in 2000. Marianne Guido also served on the Planning Commission from 1986 to 1990. She previously was elected to two terms on the City Council from 1976 to 1984. From 1991 to 2006, Marianne was the Vice President of Advocacy and Government Relations for St. Joseph Health Systems. She was a founding member of the boards of Irvine Housing Opportunities, Jamboree Housing, the Kennedy Commission of Orange County, the Orange County Community Housing Corporation, and the Orange County Affordable Housing Clearinghouse. Marianne served for 12 years as a board member of the National Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility. Currently, Marianne serves as vice chair of the Irvine Community Land Trust and is a city-appointed board member of the Irvine Barclay Theater. On a hike into Bomber Canyon, the trekker can see the public plaque honoring Marianne's involvement in the city's extensive open space system. This is pared down, this profile, which is necessary in the interest of time. Marianne earned her BA from Rosary College in River Forest, Illinois, and had done graduate work at UC Irvine. Welcome to Ask a Leader, Marianne Guido.
Well, thank you, Claudia.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. Quickly here, as we try to cover as much territory, my brain trust, that is the immediate community, had so many questions to ask all of you, and I'm going to try to ask in a way that gives us the best possible read of what each of you candidates bring to this particular election. So in engaging how the campus constituents, that is the campus and surrounding areas, how they're affected by your policy considerations, let's first talk about your vision, and then we can quickly talk about some budget priorities and some zoning issues that are of concern. So what, Marianne, you are now gaveled in, you're sworn into a mayor office. What is it you want to make sure happens in your first, in your two-year term?
Well, thank you, Claudia, for asking that question, because I feel very strongly about the opportunity for citizens to get involved in envisioning the way the city wants to grow in its future. We've built many of the villages now, and we are experiencing a high rate of traffic and its attendant stresses. So it's time for the city to step back for a moment to begin to look at ways in which we can control our rate of growth and development at the same time as we grow our transit programs so that more people can get around the city in a safe and secure manner that takes cars off the road and allows more of the community to enjoy biking and walking without the stresses of major traffic problems.
And how about in terms of budget priorities? I know the beginning of this current, we'll call it like a legislative session, there were distinct kinds of fiscal preoccupations. Just in terms of an outlook with budget, where you want to put the funding. We read in your bio about the extensive affordable housing and the resource management. What would you like to do in terms of that?
Well, you know, we have a $150 million city budget. And because of the foresight of a city council and putting aside a rainy day reserve, we were able to make it through the recession with no layoffs and no cuts in services. We were able to build up our budget now. And in fact, today, the city of Irvine has a $60 million of that $150 million in an asset management fund. We have a ready reserve. We have a surplus right now, today, of $8 to $10 million. So we are really blessed with a very healthy city budget. And that city budget needs to be spent wisely. And one of my top priorities will be transit. We are a suburban city, but we have grown so much that we need to really focus on a opportunity for a transit program that serves the entire city. Currently, we have shuttles in both of our business districts, and we have the wonderful Anteater shuttle.
Right on.
Now, we could have one seamless program combining with the Anteater shuttle as well as the others that we have in the city called the iShuttle, so that we allow residents to quickly get to where they want to go without very long wait times. And so the money in the budget really should be focused on transit in the future.
Well, very good. I know that from having had some master's in urban planning students on, it's been a couple of years now, they've done some amazing research on trying to hook up this sizable population affiliated with the campus and getting them to all of the major nodes to which you're talking, that the iBus and the others are connecting then. So that there are meaningful resources to use here on the campus to work with that vision for sure. Well, we also...
May I comment further
absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely.
We did have a recommendation to a developer that there was a requirement for at least $3 million of transit funds. That developer was able to obtain Measure M funds. These are county bond monies for the County of Orange. And Irvine was granted $3 million 2 years ago when the very first city council majority took office. And that city council majority, Mayor Choi, sent back $3.5 million in transit funds, saying that ideologically he did not approve of taking any taxpayers' dollars.
But I will note that, Marianne, that question about what happened with the $3 million that measure in funding. Because I know there's a lot of students who don't have the luxury of their own vehicles, and that's only way they're going to be getting around. So that's an interesting point to raise. So
yeah, I wanted to make sure that students knew that one of the proposals for the $3.5 million was to have routes from UCI to the Spectrum area, which is our major area for recreation and entertainment.
Right, right. And so I guess let me just give folks a way of seeing how planning commissioner functions perform. And there have been some special permits. I think a campus drive is now about a dieseling effect. We've got another drive-in that is now under construction right along campus between the Irvine Center and UCI campus. And so you could quickly just give us what the Planning Commission considers, what the role of negotiation and the importance of it in terms of leveraging any kind of impacts and what kinds of measures you want when you're working with developers?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. As you pointed out in my introduction, I have been a planning commissioner for a very long time. If you add up all the years that I've spent since 1973 when I began as a planning commissioner, I've had almost 20 years experience as a planning commissioner, added to my 8 years experience as a city councilwoman. And so I can recall the very first time the developer, the Irvine Company, requested to develop the campus university area across from the administration building. And at that time, the request was made to build homes only. And I was on the Planning Commission and required that so many square feet of commercial would be built and utilized before building permits were given for the large number of homes that were to be built. And so a planning commissioner looks at the big picture and negotiates on behalf of the residents. And that philosophy and ideology continues with me today. I believe that we need to be supportive of the residents' view as opposed to that of the developer. So, in fact, the University Town Center has developed. Over the years, it has included many opportunities for entertainment, for eating and noshing, if you will, as well as meeting folks in a conducive, friendly manner, such as our coffee houses. But as you know, the improv that was very popular was moved from that campus center to the Spectrum. So, and that's one of the reasons we have to have a municipal transit bus that takes folks from this center now down to the Spectrum so that they have the full range of entertainment opportunities available to them.
Well, I want to give you a chance to tell us about the support that you're getting and what will your campaign be doing around the campus and the surrounding precincts.
Well, of course, I am very pleased that you're bringing up the issue of voting and the importance of voting on your program. I think the media plays a major role, and for that I thank you. Now, of course,
pleasure.
Our own campaign has a very strategic plan for interacting with the students and the faculty at UCI, but I won't be able to reveal those strategies to you on the radio just in case my competitors are listening. So I do envision getting the vote out at UCI, and we have very very strategic plans that will be revealed in the next 2 weeks. As you know, vote-by-mail ballots are arriving in your mailbox this week, so we plan to be on campus, and we plan to be visible.
Well, there are some new organizations that I'm going to be posting people on here, and I'm hoping actually to have them on where I've got some openings later on in this month. But will you without going into detail about a strategic plan, but are you going to be meeting with students?
Now, my understanding is the student body has requested a forum.
Yes.
And so I have answered in the affirmative that I would be willing to take part in a forum that's being held at UCI. And I do not have a date yet. If you have one.
I think it's the 16th, and I'm hoping to have Coach Rotman.
Well, I am committed to coming on campus and participating in a forum, and I will be happy to talk about the issues with students both in a forum setting as well as an individual one-on-one.
Well, very good. Well, I don't know if there's you want to post, because we have opportunities to see city council members in action, the Mayor Choi can we can witness much about how he presents himself on the Irvine City TV. But for those who want to get more of an information to follow your campaign, see more of you, how can they do that, Marianne Guido?
Well, they can go to my website, marianneguido.com, and not only view information about my candidacy, but my team. I have two team members, Larry Agron and Melissa Fox, that are running with me, who have similar ideology and policy changes that we agree upon. So that would be the best way, and there are opportunities to donate to our campaign in terms of dollars as well as time and effort. So we would welcome anyone to go to our website and to get the opportunity to volunteer. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's how we can do that. Well, I want to thank you so much for valuable time. I know that no matter where people are running for a position, that their time isn't theirs anymore. And so I want to thank you, Marianne, for being on the show today and wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Mayor Stephen Choi is seeking his second two-year term as mayor. He was elected to the Irvine Unified School District and served his term in 1999 to 2004. He was elected and served one term on the Irvine City Council from 2004 to 2008. Stephen Choi completed his Bachelor of Arts degree from his South Korean university. I'm going to say Kyunghee. Was that fair to say?
Kyunghee,
and he came to the United States from South Korea as a Peace Corps language instructor in 1968. And then he earned his master's degree in library science from from Louisiana State University and his PhD in library and information science at the University of Pittsburgh. He's held numerous teaching posts at colleges and universities around the Southland and is founder and current director of Dr. Choi's Academy. Actually, he joins me at his chamber office in the city of Irvine. Welcome to the show, Mayor Choi.
Thank you, Claudia, and also good morning, everyone. And I'm so happy to have this opportunity to greet you as a mayor and then also seeking for my re-election second term.
Okay, Mayor Choi, I'm sorry to say that because of some of the transit kerfuffles, we're not going to be able to take this interview at a very leisurely pace. And so what I wanted to do was get into just if you could briefly as you possibly can, what I detected from the outset of this particular session of the council, that there is a fiscal linchpin in yours, in your vision for the city. I don't know if you had anything more to add than your budget cutting disposition in your vision.
Just you know, quickly. Always operating any organization, particularly large city budget, our goal is to operate all aspects of city operations fiscally prudent and responsibly. And I'm happy to report that this year, 2013-14, we expect about $9 million of a surplus. And this is a result of very hard work by our staff members. And then also, Great Park is another area that we wasted over $200 million of a park construction fund. So that is under forensic audit and then also district attorney's review. So this is one of the areas that I strongly emphasize city operations so that we look out for taxpayers' money and spend it very wisely.
Well, Mayor Choi, Marianne Guido was just talking about the Measure M $3 million funding. How is it that you were interested in not using that money in order to allow folks from all over the community a chance to get to some of the other nodes where they're not residing, going to school?
Well, you know, Measure M is a countywide transportation fund that is a partial half cents of sales tax is collected to manage Orange County transportation. And that money becomes available on a competitive basis when cities apply to OCTA. So it we as a large city, we get a large portion of that funding, and then even I shuttle operation is funded by that fund. So we take a utilization of Measure M. Now is a second phase Measure M2 funds. So it has very little bearing to our city fiscal management because that money is available countywide.
Well, we'll keep track of that $3 million, though, because I think that was money that was certainly for the city to use. But I also wanted to look at, when we're looking at totals,
we missed
the... I don't
know what you're talking about. Well, what she was talking about, the $3 million is Measure M money is not directly, as I mentioned, that's a taxpayer, taxpayer's money. And then we
which we
make
pay.
Best effort to apply for project basis, and then we are very good at that.
Well, I wanted to say I hear the totals when you're talking about $9 million. I'm also mindful, Mayor Choi, of the appropriations earlier in the earliest part of the session that were considered. And as just to break down and how things operate, there was a $400,000 appropriation to continue the Barclay Theater at UC Irvine. It's not, it's its own enterprise, but it is still part of the campus. And the multiplier effects of that, what the city would appropriate in $400,000, I understood to be three, four fold in terms of more treasury, more given to the municipal treasury. Can you answer that fiscal aspect, that function of what an appropriation brings to the treasury?
Jumping around. Now you are speaking about the Barclay Theater. Yeah, Barclay Theater is a product of originally City of Irvine's former leader's vision to set up a cultural center, performing arts center, in collaboration with the UCI campus. And it is happens to be located on UCI campus so that the students can make the best use of that when it's not under, you know, in use by a nonprofit organization, Barclay Theater. Now, so from the beginning, city has been very heavily subsidizing that operation, even though it has, it is supposed to be a nonprofit organization, and the city wanted to nurture and help that performing arts, the arts activities in the center. So $425,000 annually we've been committed, we've been subsidizing. However, on top of that, another $500,000, so near $1 million has been about $95,000 annually have been subsidized by the city. And about a year, 2 years ago, when we are ending, I guess, now looking back, Great Recession, city was under very, very tight budget situation. So we wanted to see where we can stop unnecessary, you know, funding, and that area turned up to be by the city manager that was in excess of our fiscal obligation. So that was an area we recommended to reduce the excess amount so that the nonprofit organization could stand after, I think, in its operation, I don't know exactly, 15 or 20 years. So that was the proposal, which was denied and then fully funded eventually. And then also last year, that was funded. So we are still subsidizing that operation about $1 million a year.
Well, I know you're a sophisticated businessman, and I know that you have lots of factors in the inflow and outflow of funding. And I think reasonable minds would maybe consider that there is a multiplier effect, that there's revenue generated and eating establishments and in all the and hotel spaces and other things that the Barclay bringing in people from all the way from the L.A. Basin. I don't know about northern San Diego County, but in the audience development that they've established, that there is a considerable multiplier where the city's treasury more gains from that $400,000 outlay on the other side. I'm sure if we were able to get a fiscal impact economist, there would be additional data to provide about to question whether there's a subsidy or there is actually not a windfall, but a multiplier effect for the city.
Yeah, well, you may be right by having outside the visitors attending any performances on campus in Irvine. There may be guests staying overnight in our hotels, performers by performers, and then also guests eating at our restaurants. So there'll be multiple economic impacts, so it'll be quite interesting for somebody to do more accurate economic impact study of that,
which would look different than subsidies,
since that's very hard to measure, and we are city is operating with a hard cash, and then when you are on the string budget, you have to turn every stone and try to tighten up your belt, but whenever we can, we do support them, because that's, after all, city sponsored organization, in conjunction with UCI campus. So it is a nonprofit organization which have been doing its fundraising, I think, quite successfully, and now it's not an infant stage. It has grown up to adult life, so to speak, stage after, I don't know exactly the number of years it has been in operation. I'll just say somewhere like 20 years. I thought that they could, the nonprofit organization can step up and try to make up the differences when the city cannot above and beyond its own obligations of $425,000. And then I think there is a room, and whenever any organization can operate under a given situation.
Well, in the interest of time, we have actually no time left. I just want to give you a chance to tell us what you plan on doing on campus to raise the level of voter participation, and who's endorsing you around this part of town in a university community?
Oh,
just in about a minute.
I have not sold any UCI. I don't even know which entity gives endorsements or not. But as you know, Orange County Register is a more notable one countywide, and with a more objective minds after interviewing all the candidates. And the UCI is like my home ground. It is very, very important to our city. And I'm also a former UCI teaching faculty myself. I have a very close ties, and then luckily relationship I have with the new chancellor, Dr. Howard Gilman. We've been talking even before he was appointed as a new chancellor, so we can push our mutual visions, which happen to be about to the same direction. In other words, to encourage startup companies. His term is that from ideas to commercialization, how he could help such as startup companies and incubator setting.
Yes.
So we talked, and then last year in my State of the City address, I proposed Irvine Tech Valley.
Excuse me, if we could wrap up. We have just less than, we're over the time now. We need to wrap up, and I forgive me for talking over, but we have one more guest. So I'd just like to see, will you be, Mayor Choi, at the Associated Student Body October 16 forum, that people can get more of a chance to hear you and hear you interact with your candidates? Other candidates.
Okay, yeah,
will you be
happy
on
to, as long as my schedule allows. I haven't had any formal invitation, so I would like to explore if I can participate in that forum.
Well, it's forthcoming. Well, Mayor Choi, thank you for taking time out of your professional and civic duties today, and I hope we'll get to see you. When we find out, we'll be able to plug that forum as you being a part of that. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope we can help mutually. UCI is a very important a part of our city.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so
much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Welcome back to Ask a Leader. Our last guest is Irvine mayoral candidate Catherine Daigle. She's worked as a legal and finance executive more than 20 years, as a vice president of finance, human resources, and legal affairs with multi-million dollar company, and a small business owner, founded two businesses, KND Legal Consulting and Paralegal Outsourcing Associates. She serves as the twice elected director to Woodbridge Village Association, and she served on the board of Irvine Donor Community. Catherine Daigle and her volunteers for Legal Aid Society of Orange County. She completed her BA and master's degrees at the University of Phoenix and her law degree at Concord Law School. And she asked me to acknowledge her pride in what her daughter has done in her life. And she's just about heading toward veterinary school, or that's the dream. So she's joining me here in Studio A. Welcome to Ask a Leader, Catherine Daigle.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. Fine. I'm glad you're here. How are you?
Tired.
Breathless, not tired. You're running for office. Well, I've been trying to get others to talk today about their vision. They're very distinct. People can get a pretty good impression just from hearing them express their visions and in what the actual content is. What is your vision? You have been sworn in as the mayor, and what is it you want to do the next 2 years?
I want to manage the growth. The development projects are really big this year, and the Great Park needs to be finished. We seem to have an influx of growth with not enough care to the total infrastructure of the city. We have traffic concerns. We have communication concerns. We do have safety concerns. Our police are having difficulties with the managed 250,000 residents. So it's important that we take care of our first defense with so many new people coming into our city.
Okay. We have with us, there are many budget and zoning considerations all the time, and it's important to be in one's best condition in negotiating on behalf of, as Marianne Guido talked about, on behalf of the residents, and we should also say of constituents around the city. So are there any priorities, budget priorities, or policy zoning types of priorities that you have to bring to the discussion?
Well, there's been a difficult measure trying to put through at the Woodbridge Village Association as far as the building of Sterling Dental. They have wanted to take that building down and move it to a five-story building along with a five-story parking lot. That does not serve the community. It's just too massive of a building. So they're looking for zoning changes, and they have to go through city council in order to do that, as well as the Irvine Company, because Woodbridge doesn't own the property. So we have put forth out indicators in flyers and in our newsletter to get the residents back in and to start driving their voices so they can be heard. We also have the Woodbridge Village Center, which there's been scuttlebutt, so to speak, of mowing it down and just putting large apartment complexes across from the lake. There's been no definitive answer from the Irvine Company or from City Council, but it's been kicked around now for several weeks. I, as part of the elected director there, we do not want to see this happen. There's too many small businesses that are gone from our city. There are a lot of empty stores, and we need them filled with businesses so they can have families and feed their families and keep their homes. And there's too much of a loss. We've noticed so much loss from our small businesses, and it's important to me that we get them back into the community and back into working with their families and provide, you know, shelter.
So are you up to the negotiating snuff here? These people have been superb in legislating, too, negotiating terms that have worked for the Irvine Company. How would you be able to stare down their agenda with your agenda?
Well, the difference is between me and all of my opponents, even including council, which The vast majority of them, well, at least one of them doesn't even have education. So the vast majority of them are real estate or lawyers. So they've never worked at a real business to make a payroll, to make sure they have a payroll to make, make sure that they know how to negotiate the best deals. I used to negotiate millions of dollars of pharmaceutical contracts. And in those, we'd have survey groups. So anything that we had to improve in the area or the building, we included in our contracts. So it's important, I think, when we negotiate new contracts, that we include that the builder build in infrastructure to support, like traffic, roads, signals, things that would support all of the city, not just the million-dollar homes, not just the golf courses. Everything should be updated and up to snuff so we wouldn't have this catastrophe that we're sitting in right now.
I just had an opportunity to talk with Mayor Choi about his examination of the budget is money saved, and I'm wanting to help have you have an opportunity to break down. There were appropriations at the very beginning of this session with the new composition of the City Council in the winter of 2013, and I'd like for you to address what those line items meant to you that were on the chopping block. There was an eventual all four items: is the Legal Aid Society, the Human Rights Commission for the county,
the Discovery Science Center.
Oh, that's the fourth one I was trying to remember. And then the Barclay.
What
would be your vision as far as what those budget items do in terms of what the city provides its constituents and its treasure, the impact on the city's treasury?
It would have not impacted the city's treasury. I don't really know the reasons of why they wanted to cut that funding. It is important that the funding comes to the city in the form of arts and culture and museums for the kids. I mean, most of this is cut at the education level, K through 12. And without these independent businesses and companies and theater programs, lots and lots of kids and families would have less than they do now. My daughter went to college from her high school on a theater scholarship, and of course then went into medicine. But without theater and without that outlet of arts, and she was a figure skater for 10 years. So without sports programs and theater programs and these other, like Legal Aid, which I donate my time to, seniors go without help. Kids go without the arts. It's ridiculous. It's not that much money. That money could be taken out from any number of areas.
I'd like to know, with some time remaining, who's supporting you? Who's endorsements? I tried to look on your Facebook, but I'm not getting distinct impression. And let people know how they can follow your campaign.
Oh, they can follow my campaign at KatherineDaigle.com.
Okay.
I also write articles and have been for 2 years at the Orange Juice blog. So that transitions also to my LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm a social media guru. Now, as far as getting assistance from the traditional OCGOP or the Central Committee or something like this, they don't. They will go. They follow who they want in office. And it's been the same three people. For Democrats and the Republicans, it's the same people. They've been in office for 18 to 20 years. So they're not going anywhere unless the voter decides they've had enough and they decide to vote for someone other than the one that has been in office all this time.
And so are you going to be on the campus involved getting the vote? You have already been? Where have the students and the administration and faculty met you?
Yeah, I have already done that. My daughter's also been on campus. She used to go to school here for a few years, and she's been bringing on leaflets and flyers. And I contacted the Young Irvine Republicans Club. So I have been on campus many times, and I am looking forward to the September or the October
16th,
16th, I think, 16th that I sent you. I forgot.
That's fine. It's going to. I'm hoping I can have Coach Ravi on the show and talking about that in the lead in there, so he can give all the logistics, because I don't think it's nailed down exactly venue time on the date.
Yeah.
So you will be there.
Oh, I will.
We
be
don't
there.
Know if Mayor Choi's coming, and I believe Marianne Guido's already got it penciled in. So two out of three, perhaps, maybe all three, and maybe other. I imagine the other council members, candidates, have been invited. So we've just about run out of time. You've told us how we can follow you, and is there one final summary that you'd like to say about your candidacy, Catherine Daigle?
Actually, I just have something to say to the students.
Please
and
do.
This was given to me by Diane Murphy. Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. Is anyone here ready to say, I'm good? No need for more. Silence and not voting is acceptance of insanity. I will not be silent or accept bad governing. Showing up is half the battle, and I am here.
You've shown up. You've shown up in the studio, and that's you've come a long way to do that. And we appreciate your doing that. So I want to thank you. This is Catherine Daigle. She is the third of the three candidates. Folks, watch for more information, both posted on our website, KUCI.org, for the October 16 candidate form for the city council candidates. And I wish you well, Catherine Daigle. Thanks for coming to the show today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that, folks, wraps up Ask a Leader today. I wanted to post you on, we're going to have Melissa Fox on and Evan Chemers. I was not able to get Lynn Schott to sign up. I'm not sure if she's just not available or she doesn't have alternative times, but she's declined. We'll have Jeffrey Lalloway on in 2 weeks from now. Thanks for staying with us next week. As I said, that we'll have those two on. Thanks for joining us. All the best.